Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly one in three of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Harvey Sinclair, Chief Executive Officer of E-Energy Group, EAAS. It's ticker there. Harvey, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin.
Yeah, and you've just released your final results for the year. This is the 30th of June, and also you released news on issue of secured bonds and warrants. We'll talk all about that. Before we do, Harvey, for people maybe not familiar with E-Energy, can you explain what you do?
Sure. So E-Energy is an integrated energy services provider. We help companies reduce their energy consumption and get to net zero without using their own capital. So we're making net zero both profitable and possible for all organisations.
Yeah. Okay. Well, take us through then. So financial results, I said this is a year ended on the 30th of June. So largely from that period. Give us some of the financial highlights, if you could, from that period, Harvey.
Okay. So obviously in the period, we've seen a huge amount of positive news. We've seen revenue up 63%. So up to 22 million, up from 13.6 the previous year. EBITDA, more importantly, is up 264%, so up to 3 million now, previously 0.8. So what that reflects really is a genuine period of organic growth, as well as a period of stabilization across the year. And more importantly, I think it's worth noting that our contracted future revenues, which is also our contracted future cash order book, is up over 380%. So that's to over 25.5 million, when the previous period we were at a 5.2 million order book. So what it demonstrates is that we've started to underpin some significant long-term 3 to 4 year forward revenue visibility of reoccurring revenues. And as you know, from previous news releases, we renew 85% or more of all of our contracts.
Yeah, so good forward visibility. And it's worth pointing out to just operational highlights, because it's been a transformational year for you. I know that's bandied about, but it really has for you, because you've integrated quite a few businesses here. So take us through operationally what you've achieved this year.
Yeah, I think for a lot of buy and build platforms, there's a lot of inherent risk around what happens to the individual businesses under new ownership. And I was very keen to make sure that we genuinely integrated our businesses within the year following the four acquisitions that we've done. So for the last 12 months, we've had a year of investment. We've had a year of investment in single operating platforms, on centralizing all of our back office functions, our technology platforms. So it's been a significant cash cost that's reflected with the balance sheet that you can see. But more importantly, now we've got a business that can genuinely scale. So we have a platform business now with our reverse auction platform, integrated energy management services. We've got centralized marketing functions. And we've generally got a sort of a sole focus around sales that allows us to talk about all of our products. And we'll see the efficiencies of that growth coming forward now, given that we've got such a huge demand-driven market.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the bonds. Issued a secure bonds to raise 2.5, just over that million, and warrants. Explain why bonds and how this is working.
So look, we decided that going down the debt route was going to be better for shareholders. There is a warrant. So for every pound of bond, there is a corresponding pound of warrant priced at 6p. So for an investor that invests £100,000, there is £100,000 worth of warrants at 6p. So we've raised 2.5 million, which is to basically support our balance sheet. I'll explain why we need to do that in a second, because I think it's a really important point. But I think also recognizing that this will be a cash injection back to the business if and when those warrants are triggered. So This is a challenging market at the moment, and we felt this genuinely was the best route forward for both the business and for the shareholders.
I see what is sort of encouraging is that directors took part. You've got an existing investor there for $1 million and a new investor, John Foley, there, who seems quite experienced in your field. He's done very well, isn't he, in the public sector, but especially in a sector related to yours.
I think it's a really exciting addition to the business. We've got a highly strategic investor in John Foley, who has got a proven track record in adjacent sectors that are very relevant to what we do, proven track record in public company markets. He very much led this round with the support of Hawk. The very much drove the terms of the bond, which the directors were keen to show commitment to our broader shareholder base, that we had confidence in the ongoing success of the business. And so we've effectively matched 500,000 of the 2 million that John and Hawk have put in. So we think there's a great combination. I'm expecting some great things coming out of the relationship with John Foley going forward.
Yeah. So let's talk about, the cash burn here is quite high here. And explain why, it was at this level and obviously why you need to short the balance sheet.
Yeah. There are a number of moving parts over the last 18 months that have really collided with this sector that we've been able to navigate broadly very successfully. So firstly, there was the impact of COVID, which caused a delay of some of our energy services projects last year. And we had the adjusted downgrade from 4 million to 3 in the year as a result of energy services sort of effectively suffering from, a tightening of our new business pipeline a year ago. I'll talk a little bit in a second about how that's bounced back so strongly in the last 9 months, quarter on quarter. But broadly speaking, in the last 12 months, we've had an energy crisis that everyone's very aware of, a very volatile suppliers market. Mm. And in the energy management division, the impact of that has been that we've tightened the roster of top-tier one suppliers that we work with who provide procurement to our customers. Those suppliers typically used to offer a proportion of the commissions to energy consultancies such as ourselves up front on signing. And broadly speaking, that's changed. And that changed within the last 12 months to the extent that we're now starting to receive a more even spread of our revenue with cash matching revenue. So what really happened was a big chunk of cash that would typically have been received in year is now being received over 3 years. So it's not an underlying loss of value by any means whatsoever. It just means that we've now smoothed out our cash and revenue line so that they're aligned. That was a one-off change in our working capital cycle. So it's not going to be an ever diminishing situation. So it's stabilized once, and now we've got a very streamlined revenue profile. On the energy services side, we had a very, very strong Q4 in last year. And what that meant was that the projects which were recognized on completing hadn't converted into cash in the period. So there was significant cash generation from the projects we closed in May and June, where we had had the expenditure of cost, but where we hadn't received the cash, but we had recognized the revenue, and that revenue converted to cash quite quickly after the post-end period. Mm. We also had, obviously, quite significant investment in the years we've spoken about, but cash generation from revenue to cash will now stabilize, and we've now seen, a consistent profile of cash generation. And when I look forward to the year, we're expecting to convert 60% of our EBITDA to cash going forward. Yeah. So, as you know from the research out in the market, we're projecting a 5 million EBITDA performance for FY23, up from 3 million last year. We expect to convert 60% to operating cash. And one of the things we wanted to do was to clean up our balance sheet, really, so that operating cash flow could convert more freely to bottom line cash and PBT, because I think that's really important for investors to see. So we do have a very visible cash generation profile for the year. We believe that this 2.5 will deliver us to operating progressive cash flows, and particularly as we go past Jan, Feb, March into next year, those unwinds of effectively our balance sheet position from the money we've just raised will start enabling that cash to be recognised more quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of things, you know, for cash flow. First of all, you know, this year, like I said, you've been investing heavily in MyZero and integrating the businesses, one-off costs there. But also, like this, you said, no one's, everyone's aware of the energy market, and many energy suppliers shut down because they couldn't afford to keep going. So they had, they're paying for energy a lot more than the contracts they'd signed. So they changed their payment policy from upfront, pretty much a proportion, to now in arrears. Which, like I said, it's no cancellation, is it? It's just delay and a more smooth revenue recognition.
Yeah, in a normal market, I think that's what investors crave for, which is a longer-term predictable revenue stream. So it's been an interesting period of transitioning to that. Mm. I think it's a higher quality revenue line coming forward. Mm. Just to the point around MyZero. So, look, we've seen great performance in MyZero. From a standing start, that business has grown very quickly. One of the things that we've recognised is that the supply chain of components in that area is longer as a result of some of the sort of post-COVID supply chain challenges. We've worked around it, but we have got a slightly adjusted sort of working capital profile for that business. We were originally motivated to keep those meters on the balance sheet and own and operate them. I think we've decided probably this is not the time to be taking balance sheet risk on assets. So we're working with our panel of funders who have indicated that they are willing to fund those meters on a sort of rolling cycle. So we will start to see those metering contracts start to generate cash in the same way our lighting contracts do. And that's going to be more cash positive than previously we had expected. So there'll be an initial upfront commitment on some floating stock effectively for a 90-day cycle, and then that metering business will start generating cash at very good margins. And margins is another point to touch on. In the year, despite some of the sort of post-COVID and post-energy crisis situations and despite inflation, we've actually been able to improve some of the margins in our business. And in fact, we've not seen margin erosion anywhere. Mm. So to keep margins, which are strong in all aspects of our business, I think is a really strong indication of how sophisticated our operating model is becoming.
Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, that was the final results, ended the 30th of June. So currently, and, you know, since then, how's business been?
Well, post-period, we've been extremely pleased with the progress. And I think this is really where I want to focus, because despite a challenging energy services performance in the last year's period, for the last three quarters, the bounce back has been incredible. And so in energy services, for example, we're now annualizing over 18 million of revenue. Mm. And that's up from a performance for the entire whole of last year of 10 million in that division. So we're now seeing for the last three quarters, consistent performance of between 4.5 and 4.7 million a quarter. And so when I look at some of the over the last few weeks, for example, you know, we've had a record month in October where we did over 3 million in 1 month of signed contracts. We've won a material contract via a framework award in the last 2 weeks, which will be, opened up into sort of transparent value as we audit all those sites, but a huge project that we estimate to be north of 2.5 to 3 million. And we continue to convert now 50% of all proposals in our energy services business. And that's a very high conversion rate of proposals for a B2B business.
Yeah.
So that's very strong. Energy management was on budget for the year as at the end of October. So that's on plan. Appetite for our solar division is really scaling. And although we haven't delivered the projects we have signed, we've signed 9 megawatts of solar projects, which is a significant value of rooftop solar projects that we expect to convert to approximately 1.5 million of cash into H2, and they're from existing clients. So one of the things that investors wanted to see that I was very aware of was, can we demonstrate we'll convert projects from the acquired energy management business? And the answer is, we're seeing strong take up, strong conversion, and that's where a lot of the growth's coming from now. So outside of education, we've built a really strong footprint in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And we're also starting to see really, really strong uptake in the commercial industrial space as a result of our existing customers. So, yeah, really, really excited post-period performance. Mm-hmm. And I think that we'll see a lot of ongoing news updates in the coming weeks.
Excellent stuff. That's good. So there's no lack of demand there, Harvey. You're very busy.
We're very busy. We've set our business up to scale now. Clearly, we are addressing a moving market at all times, but we think we're well positioned for it now. And I'm very aware this is a demand-driven market now. So we're hoping that we can go from strength to strength and, see a good performance.
Okay, excellent stuff. Well, if you could, Harvey, then for people listening who like the sound of the progress you're making but are not yet following the story, just give them three quick bullet points as to why they should hit that follow button and add e-energy to their watch list, please.
Sure. So with the energy crisis driving energy prices to three times their previous highs, all businesses need to address consumption. E-energy really addresses consumption reduction through capital-free solutions, tackles energy wastage through smart metering solutions, and is now building a really strong renewables business where customers can effectively acquire energy at half the price of grid energy through on-site rooftop solar solutions.
Excellent stuff, Harvey. Good to chat to you. And like I said, lots going on, so hopefully you catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly one in three of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.